So today the question is, or the title of the sermon is Holy Moment. When do we get the Holy Spirit? When do we get the Holy Spirit? That's a good question, isn't it? And you may already have an answer. I encourage you to make sure that you researched it. So there's a picture there on the screen of Daryl Johnson. I went on Friday to Vancouver, flew in for the day. I got an airfare return, Edmonton to Vancouver, for $128. I can't drive to Calgary and back for that much money right now. So I went and he did a seminar, really enjoyed our time there, met some new friends and so forth. But the sermon I'm going to share with you today, I owe a great amount of the content of the sermon to a sermon that Daryl preached in 2009. He was doing a series called Who is Jesus? And one of the sermons was that he said that he was interviewing people from the Bible who had a testimony about who Jesus was. And one of the people he interviewed was the John the Baptist. And John the Baptist said that Jesus would be the... John says, I baptize you with water, but there is someone coming after me. We'll read the text in a moment. Who will baptize you with and in the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to talk about that. So I want you to know I am giving credit to Daryl because I am borrowing a lot of his content. I'm adding a few things there. But the reality is, as I looked at the sermon, as I prepared for this, I'm like, I cannot do any better. That's a really great sermon. So I'm taking that. And you know, the term baptize really means to be engulfed, to be fully cover, fully surrender, fully submerge. This is a picture of the fire in Fort McMurray a few years ago. Completely surrounded. It was a word used of ships when they sank. You would say that ship is baptized. Completely underwater. It was also used of when you took a pottery that somebody was making and you put it in dye so that it came out a whole different color. Or when you took clothes and you put them in to dye them and they came out a whole different color. That's sort of what the word baptism means. And again, baptism in and with the Holy Spirit. And if you look at your translation, some of them use those different words. So some key Bible passages, it's actually John chapter 1, 29 to 34, not 2, chapter 1. Let me read it to you. It says, the next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was long before me. Aren't you glad that John understood that Jesus is eternal? I mean, from an earthly point of view, John was actually about 6 months older than Jesus. But John understands that Jesus is eternal from before he had begun. He goes on, I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. What an amazing thing. John was humble enough to always point people to Jesus. He could have just said, you know, I will never reveal who he is, and then I can have all the limelight. But he did not. He carries on verse 32. It says, then John gave this testimony. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him. But the one who sent me to baptize with and in water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and testified that this is God's chosen one. Let me go back to Luke. Chapter 3, again, just a little bit, kind of the same story, slightly different angle. Verse 15, then people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. Wow, that could have gone to John's head, couldn't it? John answered them, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat up into his barn. But he will burn up the chaff with the unquenchable fire. And with many other words, John exhorted the people and proclaimed the good news to them. And then John chapter 20. I know I'm reading a few texts, but I just want us to grasp this. I think it is really important. John chapter 20, verses 19 and 23. Okay, here's 19. Here's, I'm just looking here now for 19 to 23. No, it is not 19 to 23. So we might have to skip that. But it's again when Jesus comes up. My apologies. But it's Jesus comes to his disciples after the resurrection. And he says, that's because I'm in Luke. That's why it's not looking familiar. But Jesus comes and, Luke can get in the way some days. But Jesus comes to them and he says, he blows on them, the Bible says. And he says, receive the Holy Spirit. Let me read it. On the evening of the first day, this is the Sunday that Jesus rose from the dead. First day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and signed. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins will be forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. But again, this idea that Jesus blows on them. Good thing it wasn't COVID. And they receive the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. You know this text. And again, this is, please take it as the word of the Lord. When the day of Pentecost came, so a day like today on the calendar, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, or by the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Ephesians chapter 5, Paul is speaking to the church, and then he says to them, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Kind of like our days, aren't they? It says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not be drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Lord Jesus, we pray that you speak to us by the power of your word. Remind us again that you have sent your Holy Spirit to empower us to be your witnesses, to live the life you called us to. Help us not to do it on our own strength, because it will be very frustrating. We ask these things in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So the question that we need to ask ourselves, and that I'm asking to us today to process, and which Daryl asks in his sermon, is, when is a person baptized with the Holy Spirit? Jesus said he would give us the Holy Spirit. He did this thing before he went to earth as he spoke to his disciples. He blew on them. He said, receive the Holy Spirit. He said, listen, I'm going back to the Father, but you need to stay here in Jerusalem and do not leave. Do not even think of going anywhere until the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Because when you do that, then you will be my witnesses, starting right here and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And then they stayed, and because we know that Jesus was raised on Easter Sunday, and that the Bible tells us that he was with his disciples about 40 days, and then we know that he told them to wait, and that the Spirit came on Pentecost Sunday. It's about 10 days after he went back to heaven. Pentecost is one of the big Jewish feasts, but the word Pentecost simply means 50 days from Easter. So about, they had to wait about 10 days and the Holy Spirit came. So I want to walk you through three options. three options of how the Christian church has seen as to when we get the Holy Spirit, when a person is baptized in the Holy Spirit. There are traditions, and we call this, or referred to as the sacramental tradition or option, is that it happens at water baptism. Right? Where do we get that? We just read that, right? From Jesus, John baptizes him, and the Spirit comes down of him. And John, I don't know if anybody else saw it, but for sure, John the Baptist saw it, the Spirit come in the form of a dove. And this is why what John says, you know, I baptized only with water, but there's somebody coming who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And there are some church traditions that this is their teaching. This is their position, that you become a Christian, then you go to the waters of baptism. And again, I remind you that back in the early stages, people believed and were baptized pretty much on the same day. And then later on, as the church became more organized and as it kept growing, and they just wanted people to have a healthy understanding of what it meant, sometimes they made them wait quite a long time and go to baptismal classes, and then they would baptize them. But still, there are, as I said, there are these church traditions that think that a person receives the Holy Spirit when they are baptized in water. And why we call it sacramental? Because baptism is one of the sacraments of the church. Option number two, what is referred to as the evangelical option. And this tradition says that we get the Holy Spirit at salvation. Because the Bible says that no one can come to the Father unless they are drawn. And the scripture also tells us that no one can, in their own will or out of their own wisdom, say that Jesus is Lord. They can only say Jesus is Lord by the Holy Spirit. And so the understanding is that if a person is able to come to the conclusion that Jesus is Lord and they want Jesus as Lord of their lives, it's because the Holy Spirit is at work in them already. And so it happens at salvation. And then we are filled with the Spirit. The Spirit comes to indwell us. This is probably the position held by the largest group of people, largest number of churches, because so many of them fall in that sort of evangelical, not Orthodox, not really old church, and also not Pentecostal or charismatic. That it happens at salvation. And so for them, it's like, I gave my life to Jesus. The Holy Spirit lives in me. Does that make sense? Are we good? Okay, option number three is the charismatic option. Charismatic Pentecostal option. And this group of churches says that it happens after salvation, as a second blessing or as a second work of grace of God in our lives. And, you know, even our own, and it's changing, by the way, as of conference, a couple of weeks ago, it changed somewhat, but we used to always say, and the Assemblies of God say this, many of the churches that are of the same sort of tradition say the same thing. We say we believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the initial physical evidence of speaking in tongues. Because again, we saw in Acts chapter 2 that people spoke in tongues as the Spirit came upon them. And in other parts of the book of Acts, we see the same thing. When some of the disciples go to other locations and this group of people are Christians, and they say, and they're like, well, have you received the Holy Spirit? And they said, what Holy Spirit? We never even heard of the Holy Spirit. And they're like, well, what were you baptized into? They said, into the baptism of John, water baptism, which was a symbol of repentance. And then they prayed for them and the Spirit came upon them and they spoke in other tongues. Now, there's a number of passages or incidences where that happens, but not in every incident, not in every occasion. So this is, I think, part of what sometimes it gets a little bit complicated, and maybe where we have overemphasized the speaking in tongues, and we have been sort of saying, well, you know, what spirit do people get when they are saved and not the Holy Spirit? And sometimes these churches have made a sort of a differentiation between indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit living in us, and the Holy Spirit and the baptism in the Holy Spirit as something separate and distinct too. So those are the three options. Do you prefer one over the other? Which one do you think is right? Okay. Our theologian here says two. Our other theologian here says three. Anybody says one? We have to wrestle with this, folks. And I'm so thankful that Daryl did a lot of the wrestling already. But, you know, I was meeting with Pastor Dave from the Baptist Church. And I was talking that I would be preaching about the Holy Spirit. And we got talking about different things. And he was telling me a few weeks ago, he and the family went to Invermere. And he's got a little Honda Civic, kind of like Coles, but I think Coles has the turbo. But anyway, he has this Honda Civic that is a small car that has a really nice engine. And so if you've been to Invermere, you know you got to do a lot of climbing, a lot of passing when the passing lane is there. And so he was flooring it, and I think that the family in the back are like, "Dad, that's kind of cool." And he's like, "Oh, well, I'm just driving it in econo mode." They're like, "You mean there's more to it?" They're like, "Yeah, just wait till the next time we have to pass." So he put it on regular mode, normal mode. And he accelerated. And the girls go, "Dad, that is so awesome. That feels so cool." And he's like, "Oh, that's not even all there is. There's sports mode." They're like, "What? There's sports mode?" He says, "Yeah, wait till we have to pass cars again. Next time there's a passing lane, put it in sports mode." And it picks up really fast. They're like, "Wow, Dad, this is really amazing." Why do I tell you the story? Because sometimes I think that many of us are functioning in econo mode when it comes to the Holy Spirit. And we only look for more of Him or desire more of Him or cry out to Him more desperately when something awful is happening in our lives. You know, folks, can I tell you something? That the price of the Holy Spirit has not gone up. I know most of us are driving our cars in economy mode because of the price of gas. But the Holy Spirit, the price of the Holy Spirit has not gone up. You can have the Holy Spirit. I was going to say in fullness, but I'll hold that from saying in fullness. But as much of Him as you want and you are capable of having. So, you want to know what Daryl arrived after? Doing a lot of research, a lot of praying and studying scripture. And he's one of the most biblical preachers you will ever find. This is what he said. Let me read you the quote. "As I have wrestled with this, I have come to the conclusion that," ready? "Each of the options is wrong and each of the options is right. And each of the options is wrong and right for exactly the same reason." How do you like that? Okay, you have it there. Let me read it again. "As I have wrestled with this, I have come to the conclusion that," ready? "Each of the options is wrong and each of the options is right. And each of the options is wrong and right for the same reason." Do you want to know what he says that reason is? When he said this the first time, I'm like, okay, I gotta process this. He said that each of these reasons is right and wrong for exactly the same reason, because each one assumes that it only happens once. I know people who said, "Oh, you know, I'm baptized with the Holy Spirit. You know, 30 years ago, I spoke in tongues. I haven't spoken in tongues ever since. But I'm baptized with the fullness of the Spirit." And then I see somebody who's a believer, who's never spoken in tongues, who I see a lot of the fruit of the Spirit in their lives. So tell me, who has more of the Holy Spirit? The person who spoke in tongues, or the person in whom there is evidence of the fruit of the Spirit? Please don't call the district office and tell them that I'm a heretic. Like I said, we are rewording our own position on how we talk about this. So, they're right and they're wrong because each of them assumes it happens once. And he goes on into great length. If you want to listen to his full sermon, I can send you the link to it. And he speaks about how the Spirit comes into our lives. Yes, at baptism, as we follow the Lord in obedience, there's more of the Holy Spirit. We open up ourselves to more. When we become believers, of course, the Holy Spirit fills us. When later on, we can have an infilling and an infilling and an infilling. And so, Ephesians 5:18, which I mentioned, don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. Instead, be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is the key word, is that be filled. It's not just be filled once, but be filled again and again and again and again. How many of you had the unfortunate experience of running out of gas in the middle of nowhere? And you don't have a jerry can? Thank goodness we can call AMA now. But friends, some of us are like, we go to the well of the Holy Spirit and draw a bucket and we run off to do whatever we're doing. And then we're like, oh, it's kind of low. And we go back and we do it again. And then we do it again. Why not hook up to the Holy Spirit like the firemen do to a fire hydrant? They don't have to be running back. It's just always there. And the Holy Spirit, we are being told, be filled, be filled, be filled again, 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 again with the Holy Spirit. So let me mention these reasons. I think I've added an extra one that Daryl mentions as to why we need an ongoing baptism of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Why it shouldn't be a one-time, once-and-done experience. Number one, he says, it is the nature of Jesus to keep on giving. Aren't you glad? When Jesus says, receive the Holy Spirit to his disciples, he says, keep receiving, keep receiving, keep receiving, because I'm going to be giving, 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 giving. Isn't that good news? That it's in the nature of Jesus to give us again and again and again. I like that. I really like that. Number two, he says, that we need an ongoing baptism of the Holy Spirit because we keep quenching and grieving the Holy Spirit. And remember, we said that the Holy Spirit is kind of like the shy member of the Trinity. When he is offended, when he is grieved, when he is quenched, he kind of steps back and says, okay, you know, I really want to be more involved in your life. I want to bless you more. I want to speak to you more. I want my ministry to you to be without hindrance. But you got to realize here, there's something that's blocking that from happening. And he works in us, and we come to our senses and our realization that we need more of the Spirit. So we say, God, I need more of your Holy Spirit. And because Jesus' nature is to give and keep on giving, he gives us more. Number three, he says that we need an ongoing baptism of the Holy Spirit because we are not ready for the fullness of the Spirit. I know sometimes we refer to ourselves as, you know, a full gospel people, or, you know, the fullness of the Spirit. Friends, can I tell you that you and I do not have the capacity to take in the fullness of the Holy Spirit? We're like a bucket that goes to the ocean and takes a bucket full. I'm full of the Spirit, but that does not represent the entirety of the ocean. It's just the entirety of what I can handle. Maybe next time I go back with a bigger bucket. Is that now the fullness of the ocean? It's not a trick question. No. But my bucket is full. And next time maybe a little bit bigger bucket and a little bit bigger bucket. And this is why we need an ongoing baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because none of us are capable once and for all to say, okay, I've got it all now. You know, we were at a wedding, as I told you, Kelsey's wedding. It was really wonderful. And, you know, they expressed their love to each other. They made vows of commitment and so forth. And I am convinced that they feel that they love each other completely. But those of you who have been married 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 50 years, you would know that you know more what love is now than you ever did on the day of your wedding. You come to realize that what you thought was love, it's not really. You're just caught up in the excitement of the whole event. But 30 years from now, when you've gone through some ups and downs, for better, for worse, and richer and poorer, boy, oh boy, then you realize that the depth of your love now is much greater than it was before. And in the same way, as we grow in our faith, as our capacity expands, then we get more and more of the Holy Spirit in us. And that's why we need an ongoing baptism of the Holy Spirit. And number four, Daryl says that we need an ongoing baptism because often we're not willing for it to happen. How many stories have you heard of people, and this is really, you know, kind of our Pentecostal tradition, of people who said, Lord, I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, but I don't want to look like a what? Crazy or a fool. God, I want to have control of your Holy Spirit, whatever he does in me. And Jesus says, no, I'm not giving you my Holy Spirit for you to control him. But if you let him, I'll give you more and more and more and more of my Holy Spirit so my Holy Spirit can control you. And we say, no, thank you. And Jesus said, okay, well, come back when you're ready. How many times have I realized, oh, I need more of the Holy Spirit. But I want to be in control. So I'm just going to try it on my own. I got some strength. I know this and that. And then I come to a thing in life where I keep doing this and this again and again and again. And I go back and I say, Lord, you were right. I need more of your Holy Spirit. And then it happens again and again and again. I added the last one. Why do we need an ongoing baptism of the Holy Spirit? Because we're commanded to in Ephesians. Keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit again and again and again, today and tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, next week, next month, next year, until death do us part. Haven't you discovered in your life that we need more of the Holy Spirit? And yes, you know, we can speak in tongues. We can let the Spirit of God develop fruit in us. We can display his gifts. But let's always be people who are loving God, who are saying, Holy Spirit, I am here. Fill me again. Fill me anew. Top me up. You know, with gas being so expensive, I let my car go down to somewhere between half a tank and three quarters full, and I go and fill. Because, well, it hurts too much if you do it at once. Folks, why do we sometimes want to see how long and how far we can go without the Holy Spirit before we go back for a refill? When AJ was starting to drive, one day he had the little light had come on. He drove and kept driving with it. I don't recall if he actually ran out of gas or not. And I'm like, why would you do that? He's like, I wanted to see how far I could go without, after the little light goes on. Now, that might be fun to do as a teenager. You know, I don't think Jimmy's doing that anymore. And it's not good when we do that with the Holy Spirit. Let's just continually get refilled. And it will expand our capacity for more of him. As I said, the next week, Brian and Val Rutten will be here. They'll be driving back from Sunnyside just for the day. And they will share with you how they have seen the Holy Spirit at work in Ethiopia. Let me tell you, I know a lot of the stories. It's kind of Book of Acts sort of thing. It really is. I am not lying to you. Where whole villages become Christian. Where young men and women full of the Holy Spirit will stop a Muslim funeral procession and say, we'd like to pray for your deceased loved one. And they know that if God doesn't do something, they could be killed. And they do it anyway. Like I said, lots and lots of stories of people saying, I don't know who you are, but some man in white in my dream told me honestly, really wild stuff, Book of Acts kind of thing. So don't miss that. Come expectant. Come and be blessed by listening to our missionaries. Can we do that? All right. The worship team is going to come in and close us in a song.